city. Flickering dirty neon over alleys mean and dirty streets, while my neighborhood is torn down around me. Too many people on the zombie streets.
Hello, everybody. This is Michael C. Rupert, Tracker of Truth, coming to you one more time on Sunday, the 29th of September in the year 2013, on the Lifeboat Hour. And boy, man, this is a show where, you know, I don't feel like the seal on top of the rolling ball tonight. I feel like I'm in the lifeboat with all of you, just hanging on. And that's kind of the way I come into this show. I want to express my thanks to Gary Null for that really, really prescient and right on the money commentary that he offered at the end of his show right before we started tonight. It's the perfect place to segue, but it becomes clear to us all that there is no other issue than Fukushima right now, which puts an incredible wet blanket, if you will, over other developments this week. But we're going to go through that tonight, and this is a night where I really need to lean on music, and so I'm going to lean, and we're going to share four songs with you tonight as we make our way through this, because there are times when words and when analysis don't give you the energy and the strength that you need, and that's why all of us, so many of us, fall back on music as the comfort, as the energizer, as the the vehicle by which we get through and which we endure and which we share together our human experience. And boy, 7 billion of us are having the same experience right now. That's the good news. I watched a movie this week. Actually, I've watched both versions. The Day the Earth Stood Still, 1951, with Michael Rennie, which was a great movie, and Patricia Neal, and the 2008 version with Keanu Reeves. The 2008 version, the first half of it was, I thought, brilliant. I think it kind of the movie kind of fell flat on its end, but basically it was a higher intelligence come to the Earth to save the Earth from the human species. And there was a great line in that movie when Keanu Reeves, Klaatu, was talking to the great grandfatherly scientist, and the great grandfatherly scientist said, "Don't deny us our chance. Human beings and species only evolve when their backs are totally against the wall, when their lives are at stake. That's when the option, the opportunity, the ability to evolve presents itself as a matter of will and choice. It doesn't happen often, but of course, you know, that's what I've been arguing for a long time." And it feels like it's certainly we are at that moment right now. I started off the week actually pretty optimistic. There were great signs of a global uprising against the United States, and it's very clear now that the United States, the American Empire as we have known it, is ended. This is as big as the turn back to the Roman Empire, from which the Roman Empire never recovered. There was one story that was just ecstatic for me earlier in the week because it so reaffirmed the position that I had taken on Facebook and here on this show, that it was going to be a horrendous struggle, but the attack on Syria, with the ensuing inevitable consequence of a nuclear World War III, would not happen. And so the story appeared on RT this week, earlier in the week, and I commented, I'm going to metaphorically strangle the next person who makes a comment that no one listens to us, that we can't achieve anything, or that the situation is hopeless. If we as a species can achieve this and we own that, then the only possible door to dealing with Fukushima is open, and we have a foot in it. That's all we've ever needed, and all we need to do now is just realize that. The big question, of course, is the amount of time and the severely deteriorating situation, which is deteriorating on many levels in Japan. But here's a quote from that story. And Russian Foreign Minister Lavrov was being interviewed, and he said, RT asked, "What is your assessment of the time frame to the possibility of ending the conflict?" This is the Syrian civil war, so to speak. It's not really, it's manufactured. This wasn't Lavrov. I will get the source. But he's a Russian spokesman, and he said, "I'm sorry, I cannot tell you the timeline, But I tell you that as long as the U.S., Europe, and some Gulf countries are supporting the terrorist group, the crisis will continue. If they are, will the political solution and our friends supporting this group, I assure you it will end the Syrian civil war in a few weeks, which means the plug is being pulled. And we see that in the context of the fact that for the first time in 34 years, an American president has communicated with an Iranian president, head of state. And that's since 1979. And, you know, back in the old days in the history, which is irrelevant right now, that this is a monumental development. The U.S. and Iran are sitting down at tables, and that whole situation is coming unwound. The man who issued that statement, I'm sorry, was the Syrian foreign minister, Walid Mualem, told RT at a United Nations General Assembly session in... excuse me, that was a sneeze. Sorry. Bless me. In New York this week. And so the Syrian foreign minister is saying that conflict is over within a matter of weeks, so we can produce results. And that's, I was hopeful to have a good optimistic show this week, but unfortunately, events in Fukushima do not allow for much of that. There are other signs around the world. Indigenous Malaysians are blocking roads as a rainforest dam begins to fill, destroying rainforest in Malaysia. That's on Desdemona Despair. We're seeing signs of awakening and standing up all over the world. But Fukushima is trumping everything. And I want to give you, get out your pencils and your writing sticks and whatever, your keyboards. There are three excellent websites for more frequent updates and with just chock full of information on Fukushima. The first site is https://boards.collectors-society.com/ubthreads, UBBTHREADS. https://boards.collectors-society.com/ubthreads, UBBthreads, THREADS. I will read you the name on the website. It's a blog. And this is where I and many other people go to view, witness, to experience the increasing reportage of medical illnesses that are emerging, not 10, not 20 years. Well, I lost that. Okay. If you got the link, you'll get it. The deaths, the illnesses to children, to adults that are emerging and cannot be hidden all over Japan now. So forget the 10, 20 years you might get cancer stuff. People are sick and they are dying now. And what's, of course, given the level, the amounts of radiation that have been released from the site already, both in the atmosphere and in the water, and we'll touch on something extremely sickening in a few minutes about selling the fish in Japan. This is not surprising at all, but we have also noted, as Gary mentioned previously and as I have mentioned many times, that we are seeing increased rates of neonatal fatalities, childhood thyroid cancers, and cancers in the Pacific Northwest, and also across the northern part of the U.S. where the jet stream has deposited the atmospheric releases. So this cannot be hidden, and it certainly cannot be hidden anymore that the radiation, and Gary said this so very well, and it's absolutely true, that every day we turn around, it's, oh, we got these numbers wrong, oh, we understated these numbers, oh, there's another problem, there's another leak, we have a plastic bag that choked the water filtration system, and the Japanese government says they're decontaminating the water. They are not. The technology does not exist. So that's one website. Here's another website for Fukushima, Green Power Wellness Show, greenpowerwellnessshow.podbean.com. green power and wellness. There are frequent but not as voluminous updates there, but they're always good, and there are always aspects of the story which are chilling and will give you goosebumps. But probably the best site that I was turned on to this week is a website, is a blog out of New Zealand, Fukushima Emergency, What Can We Do? That's what you got to write down, Fukushima Emergency, What Can We Do? That is an absolute goldmine of perspective, not only on the stuff that mainstream is not telling us, but it's funny how we are all becoming aware of that now. I go there frequently to check updates, and I have to tell you that what I read there breaks my heart. Because many of us, and I will include myself in a group, but let's do the Giants first, Arne Gunderson, Helen Caldicott, Chris Busby, all the people who have stayed on Fukushima from the start, Zero Hedge, and all of these blogs that have come up. Fukushima Diary is also excellent. Write that down. That's a fourth. Fukushima Diary. And all you got to do is Google those, and you'll go right there. Gee, technology is great, what it can do for us, but what it so obviously is not. Fukushima Emergency, What Can We Do? Is one that just really opens your eyes to the degree of, not just the degree, but the absolute insanity of the lies that are being told now. And that's really what's harder to deal with than just about anything else. We're going to play four songs tonight. And the first one that I want to play tonight is by a woman, a singer-songwriter, who has just inspired so many of us. Last week when we had Guy McPherson on, we played Jackson Browne's Before the Deluge, which was so prophetically prescient, and you wonder. But here now, looking back some 43 years after this song was recorded, by Joni Mitchell, I hear a line in the song which sums up what I have learned in my whole spiritual journey. We are stardust, and particle physics show us that. We are all made of the same substances. We are all connected. We are golden. We are caught in the devil's bargain, and that is money and the way money works. And you know that. And we've got to get ourselves back to the Garden of Eden, the place where there was no knowledge of good and evil, where there was no separation. And that line performed, Joni wrote that in 68 after Woodstock. And I reached out to a friend of mine who was a very successful guy in the music business, a guy I've known for a great many years who I love. And I met Joni Mitchell through this really good friend. I don't want to mention names because I'm not doing a gossip thing. And I just reached out on the chance that maybe that she might come on the show to talk about that prescience and that prophecy. Because I got to spend 4 hours with her one night in the middle of the night in a recording studio, just four of us, just hanging out and talking. It was a great, great experience. And what I heard back was that she's burned out, essentially, that she doesn't come out anymore. She's so saddened by having seen all the stuff that she had foreseen and warned against and in her own wonderful, beautiful, artistic way tried to prevent, that she's overcome by what we call the Cassandra syndrome, which has happened to me a few times as well, where you keep saying things and people don't hear, people don't believe, but yet you do have the ability to see the truth. So tonight I'm feeling an enormous amount of love in my heart and gratitude for the wonderful Joni Mitchell who wrote this song that we're going to play right now. It's called Woodstock. This was a live performance in 1970, just Joni and a piano. Well, let's hear it, Woodstock.
This next song that I'm going to play is about one of these pop festivals that they've been having around the world lately. It's one that I didn't really get to go to. I'd been playing the night before in Chicago with a band, friends of mine, Crosby, Stills, Nash, Young, etc., etc. And it was their first professional appearance, and we were all kind of excited about it. And the next night, we were supposed to all play in Woodstock, and I had to do a TV show the next day, so I kind of got left behind because they were having problems getting people in and getting them back out again and everything. So I stayed home in New York, and I watched it on television all day and saw everybody there playing and singing, and it was really a nice festival, I guess, and from the looks of everything. And well, I wrote a little song for my friends to sing and for myself to sing as well. And it's called Woodstock. It goes like this.
there will always be only one Joni Mitchell. And I don't know if you hear us, Joni, but feel us. And that we all love you. And that we're all extremely grateful for all that you have given us. And there is a weight that the Cassandra carries, the ones who have seen and the ones who have tried in their own way to warn. And there's an enormous debt of gratitude that all of us who just love music owe you. And wherever you are and however you feel, just know that you have been seen and you have been listened to and you have been heard, and we honor you. Energy News, ENE News, is a place that Arne Gundersen goes. He just said that in an interview this week, two or three times a day to check. And there was a story that came out, and they're coming out with staccato rhythm now, and they're all really alarming. But on the 24th, that's earlier in the week, Tokyo professor, quote, "I want to stress that Japan is on the verge of collapse after Fukushima." Osaka professor, if you don't recognize the health risks and take action right now, you have no future. There was an accompanying video of that. The professor's name is Eiji Mankino of Hosei University in Osaka, one of the most traditional private universities based in Tokyo. And there are quotes on ENE News. This was posted on my Facebook page. Is there a way out? What kind of tomorrow awaits Japan? The Japanese public spends every day in fear and anxiety, and this is becoming extremely apparent, and it's also as Japan becomes exceedingly schizophrenic. There are, on the same day, or a day apart, massive disclosures of new amounts of radiation. Oops, we forgot to tell you it's this much. We understated this. New damage to different parts of the facility. I believe one or two cooling towers are in jeopardy of falling on Unit 4. So the Japanese public spends every day in fear and anxiety, and the people in Tokyo and around Tokyo are not happily going to work oblivious to the fact of what's going on. They know what's going on. Some very heartbreaking videos have been coming out about that. Where is Fukushima headed? Will Japan be able to find a way out? Professor Taise Namura, PhD, National Institute of Biomedical Innovation under jurisdiction of Japan's Ministry of Health, said cancer doesn't happen immediately if you don't recognize it and take action right now. You have no future. It's pretty stark. We must raise public awareness. We can't rest assured just because it's a small amount. The symptoms will not appear until decades later, but we're going to hear that those symptoms are appearing because it is not just a small amount. And it was Professor Eiji Mankino who said that the tragedy has revealed that Japan's political, social, economic, and moral standards are falling apart. I think we're facing a big crisis. I want to stress one more time that Japan is on the verge of a collapse. And we see affirming stuff with that. We're going to play another song here right before the break. It's not a long one, but it's a great song. And we might roll through the break, but we will do a break. It might be a minute late. That there was a story that came out I'm going to roll down. It was a Japanese story. The Japan Daily Press, it's the mainstream. A Yakuza member arrested for sending workers to Fukushima cleanup site. And the way they're recruiting now is that the Yakuza is getting debtors and saying, hey, you don't want to, but I'll do the Italian accent. Hey, you don't want to pay the money you owe, you go to work at Fukushima now. And this is the way the infinite growth paradigm eats people. There's a lot of other bad news tonight. So, and we're going to talk about that, and I'm going to do my best. I'm going to leave you with something to be grateful for at the end of the show. I don't want to leave you down, brothers and sisters, but I want to do the walk with you. There's a song that meant an enormous amount to me, and it's also one of my favorite musicians of all time, Peter Gabriel. And he wrote a song on his amazing album, So. It's one of the biggest blockbuster albums of all time. I think it was from 86 or 87. But this is a song about love, and it's going to get to your heart, which is okay. Don't be afraid to go there. I'll be right there with you. But this is a song that speaks a message to all of us, that helps us unlock some doors deep inside of us to reach what we need to continue and to carry on. The song featuring Peter Gabriel and the wonderful Kate Bush is called Don't Give Up. Truth back with you on the Lifeboat Hours, Sunday the 29th of September 2013 here on the Progressive Radio Network. A little delayed station break, but a good one. We are back. I got two more songs to play for you tonight because the music is going to help us get through this stuff, and I'm damn going to make a point with it all tonight, so you got to hang with me, guys. As the news poured in this week, I was stricken by a couple of audios I've heard over the last week, one from Arnie Gunderson, in which he was outlining how the Japanese government has told doctors in the area to do anything but tell the people who have, and especially the families with children who are now manifesting radiation poisoning symptoms such as thyroid cancer, runny noses, bleeding, sickness, and this is actually much more common than has been admitted in the mainstream. And I'm so grateful to everybody who's been pointing to that. Energy News again on the 26th had a story. The headline for which was "Reporters in Japan Write About Rise in Birth Defects for 2011. University Won't Publish Data on Malformed Babies." They won't publish the data after many years of doing so. They've stopped. They're not releasing figures for Fukushima or other prefectures and experts. This is ridiculous. The title was "The Fukushima Generation, New Data on Birth Defects in Post-Meltdown Japan." Source was the Daily Beast, long been a good source of information. And I just clicked the wrong click. We are all praying there's no quake. Okay, so Yokohama City University has been doing studies of birth defects in Japan for over a decade. The 2011 report on congenital malformations notes the prevalence of malformed infants as 2.43%, the highest figure since 1999. However, the figures for 2010 were 2.31%, indicating a small increase. However, they refused to publish the data for 2011. Remember that the earthquake happened in March, so they had the full year. There was also this was the most mind-numbing, head-banging, smack-my-head moment. The Japan Daily Press, the Japan Times, all trumpeted this week to the Japanese news consumers. Fukushima Prefecture resumes selling seafood products to local markets. And I saw this being trumpeted even as those of us who are paying attention here and who track this stuff closely outside of the mainstream are aware that the radiation levels are increasing under a torrential flow. We don't know how much, maybe 100, maybe 1,000 tons of radioactive water were dumped as Hurricane Manji passed over. There are more leaks all the time. The seawall's getting penetrated, and yet Japan trumpets its safety, and they put all these appetizing pictures of all the fish caught of Fukushima and the east coast of Japan returning to Japanese markets. Yum, yum. And as I watched that, that was one of the hardest things that I've ever seen to watch. But it is indicative of the fact that not only Japanese society, but all of the old paradigm is absolutely having a psychotic, schizophrenic, total crash into the wall breakdown in terms of dealing with reality, which does not augur well, but we know that it has to come down. The system has to be broken before those of us who hopefully to be there afterwards have a chance at dealing with this. And then I had to find it out in a story from Market Watch on the 25th, and it was just a sentence that appeared in a Market Watch story. CBS, it used to be CBS, not Dow Jones, Market Watch. Japan and France agreed during a summit Tuesday to cooperate on decommissioning the crippled Fukushima Daiichi plant. Now, what's happened is that Japan has publicly said, we need international help. That's a big move. It wasn't trumpeted, but there was a summit about it? Okay. Maybe that's misleading. Maybe the summit was about Syria, but now that could absolutely have been just a cover to distract. The real summit issue, summit-worthy issue, is Fukushima. And you know, so it's like we have Shinzo Abe saying everything's under control, we got the Olympics, and the mayor of Tokyo saying, no, it's out of control, Abe, you're lying. It's safe to eat the fish, but the radiation levels in the water, this hurts. This just hurts. Arne Gunderson told us this week that 200 brand new fuel bundles, there were 200 brand new fuel bundles in the Unit 4 pool, and they're the most at risk to start an uncontrolled nuclear reaction. The spent fuel is dangerous enough as it is, but the new ones are much more volatile, apparently, according to Arne Gunderson. Also on, this appeared on E&E News. He was interviewed, there's a great interview with him also from his Fair Wind site. But then, as I scroll down here, and this is going to set us up for our next song, you know, Iran and the U.S. are sitting down. That whole situation is going away. Good. We don't know what the U.S. Empire is going to do yet, but there was another, and I'm looking for this. This was from Energy News also, and this was very hard to read. This was, I'll just read you what the slug for it is, but it's a Fukushima mother's letter to UN children. To UN. Children and adults suffering from tremendously sharp increase in bloody urine, bone pain, low blood pressure. More families' health is deteriorating all at once. This is a heartbreaker, and it's one of the best breakdowns of the many issues. It's one of the most revealing, get you in the fact that you're human and these people are human, and they are enduring this all over Japan. And I'm certain it's happened in Tokyo and surrounding prefectures as the radiation levels increase and as the situation deteriorates. So removing those fuel rods is critical. So let's go now to our third song, which is, it's one of my songs. And this is how I relieve and how I get through with this. We open the show with a little clip of this every week. But this is from New White Trash's new album, new CD, Age of Authority. And we are now, my friends, dear friends, in the inner reach. We are in the last moments of before the wall hits us. This is when the moment, as I've been saying consistently, to evolve comes to us, because we don't until our backs are absolutely there. And this is where we hold some hope. Here's a song that I co-wrote with the bandmate Doug Lewis for New White Trash. It's me singing, and it's called Inner Reach.
The streetlights around me, in the wall-to-wall prison of my city, flickering dirty neon over alleys mean and dirty streets, while my neighborhood is torn down around me, too many people on the zombie street. The sirens make an eerie sound around me. Makes me cold, makes me hot, makes me freeze. And it's getting hard in the inner reach. Ever strange beneath the streets. All around where all the light waves meet.
Where all the light waves meet.
Toys haunt the hallways, stuffing secrets up my sleeve. And the only country club around here is the cold cement under my feet.
Most days I feel like a drowning man in a sea of drunken thieves. While this world goes on in a whirl around me, people look before they speak. And it's getting hard in the inner reach of a strange beneath the streets. All around where all the light waves meet,
where all the land waves meet and dance. It's secret enter into the age of authority. We enter into the age of authority. They enter into the age of authority.
Explanations don't explain, and the conclusions don't conclude. While answers don't answer, and questions don't matter, and everything has gone so rude. Well, the stars incline, but don't insist that everything is done in a dancing twist. Round where all the light waves meet and dance, and it's getting hard in the inner reach, ever strange beneath the streets, all around where all the light waves meet.
They enter into the age of authority. They enter into the age of authority.
That was In a Reach, Age of Authority, New White Trash. You can find that and 16 other new songs at newwhitetrash.com. And for those of you who have ordered CDs, guess what? We're shipping them. We've been shipping them this week. Doug's been Doug Lewis, my bandmate, band leader, has been slaving to get all those ready, and he's putting them out. They look really good. Thank you for that. So now we got to, we're down a little bit. Now I have to touch on something. It was about, I guess it was in June, coming back from Sundance, that my car broke down. And the way I approach my life spiritually, I don't get paid for this radio show. I have less than $10,000 a year income from two books and from the documentary Collapse, which has just been taken off of Netflix, so I guess that's going to take a hit. But I operate spiritually the way I want to now. I have no infrastructure, and I've just filed for early Social Security. And I operate like a performer on the sidewalk with a guitar case open, and I don't charge for anything, and I've called out when I need help and only when I need help, and we're coming up on that. My car broke down in June. I did not raise enough money to replace the vehicle, and now the car, the situation with the transmission is deteriorating, and we're getting ready to head into what looks to be a very cold, hard winter here in the San Luis Valley at 8,100 feet. And on Facebook this week, I just put it out, and I said, hey, man, if you want to help, and you've always stepped up, and I always get what I need, and I don't want to ask for more than I need. I only ask when I need it, because given the state of the world, I don't want to necessarily accumulate a surplus, but I am going to have a need to have a reliable vehicle to get me through the winter. It's 24 miles to the closest store. So if you still got your writing sticks out, this is time again. Many of you had offered to make regular donations. We didn't really set that up. So what I'm telling you now is I need to replace a vehicle before it gets too terribly cold here. And we've raised $2,000 so far. That's not enough to replace the vehicle. I got to have something that'll run. It's kind of remote here. But if you would like to help me and Rags out with the situation, it's kind of important, because without a car, I'm dead. I can't get to the store 24 miles. You can write to me at Mike Rupert at 27378 Red Cloud, two words, Avenue, 27378 Red Cloud Avenue, in Moffitt, M-O-F-F-A-T, Colorado, 81101. 4-3, and I have some real quick thank yous for the people who've been stepping up on Facebook. I'm going to run through this list real quick. Gunnar Anderson, Devin Koopmans, Clayt Morfoot, hi Clayt, Jarvis Julians, Brian Anderson, Round Belly Clothing, thank you Round Belly, Humble Endeavors, Ali Maverick Thomas, Mark Billup, Lois Carroll, my dear friend, Linda Ackerman, Bob Tortolani, Anita Caputo, Richard Hobbin, Susan Milici, Tom Herbstritt, Dean Leftwich, and Don Henry Ford Jr., the unrepentant cowboy, who's an old friend. Thank you all so much for stepping up. I know the Spirit's going to make sure that I have what I need. I'm not trying to live lush here. I'm just saying it's part of the tribe. It's part of the family. If you like what I do, help me out. And if you can't, it's quite all right, too. It's not going to change what I do. All right, down to the last few minutes of the show. As we continued through the week, the revelations, there is also a website called Fuku Leaks, F-U-K-U, leaks.org. TEPCO has not documented any effort to review the risk for removing the fuel rods, and that's the thing that's looming because the ground under Building 4 is deteriorating rapidly. I did pick up very strong signs this week that there was some urgent activity following Tropical Storm Manji. Cracks to one of the cooling towers, and thanks to a brilliant video from Arnie Gunderson's Fair Winds, there are some aerial shots that shows that now you have the ground underneath weakening, but now cracks in the cooling towers, two of which are easily within range if they collapse from this aerial photo of collapsing on Unit 4 with all of that spent fuel, which is rickety as can be and deteriorating from underneath anyway. Asahi News Service said there's an unusually high level of radioactivity detected in groundwater near the ocean. These numbers keep getting higher every few days as more revelations come out. And yet we see the mainstream media in Japan saying, go eat the new fish, which we're now catching off of that water. I mean, there are times when it's just crazy. This is one of those times, and it's hard to deal with. Energy News, again, they're dumping huge amounts of water from Fukushima on an increasing basis into the Pacific Ocean. So we know that the situation is critical, and I think whether it wants to or not, as Gary noted in the show before this one, the world is coming into focus, and we have to get on the single page. The question is, of course, will it be in time? There are signs that the human race is awakening to the fact that it does have the power to change things. And yet, these are incredibly difficult quantities and kinds of information to deal with and to hold into one's consciousness. Truly, it is apparent now that all human life, all life on the planet, is at stake here. And we hear that tick, tick, tick of the clock. Now, I started a walking spiritual path in 1983 when I got sober in Alcoholics Anonymous. I spent 21 years there. I've talked about it openly many times. And I found some of the most, most powerful spiritual tools that are so simple. And I remember this guy named Don M., who was my first sponsor. And in spiritual practice, one of the simplest things to do, and I've heard this, again, over all these decades of work and study and reading and practice. One was a psychiatrist who said, what would you tell somebody if all else failed, if every form of treatment had failed and you couldn't break people out of their depression? He said, I would tell them to just go out and find somebody to help. It works. It works when nothing else does. But also one of the most powerful tools of all is gratitude. And I remember very, very dark times, and don't worry, we're not going to relive them, very, very dark times, where I was told to sit down and to make a gratitude list. And this guy, Don M., who was a great teacher, became a good friend. He was he's just been of great service in Alcoholics Anonymous for, my God, it must be 30 years now. 30 years. One day just stopped me, and it was a day when things were very black. He said, okay, did you have a shower today? I said, yeah. You got a place to sleep? He said, yeah. You had food to eat today? Yeah. You got clean clothes? Yeah. You got telephone? Yeah. You got friends? Yeah. He goes, you're having a good day. Gratitude opens the door to possibilities, and gratitude for so many things. And I'll bet you that no matter how many tens of thousands of you who are out there who are listening tonight can find something, anything for which to be grateful. And then if you scratch a little bit further, you can find something else for which you can be grateful today, in this minute, in this now. And gratitude and a gratitude list will see you through anything and give you strength, because miracles can happen without our permission. We are holding on for that, whether it be a miracle from things unknown to us, outside of us, or a miracle that happens in our own consciousness. As we approach the point of understanding that we are all related, that we all share this planet together, and that all of our fates now are collectively in the same place, that great moment. And that's gratitude. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to leave you with a song that starts with that. It's called Lucky Man. And I am a lucky man, and so are you. You're a lucky man. You're a lucky woman. I got some news is that probably my guest next week is going to be Abby Martin of Russia Today. We will confirm that during the week, and I'll notify you on Facebook. But here's Alan Price singing a song, Oh Lucky Man. And that's where I'm leaving you tonight. I'll be back with you next week. Good night.
Have a friend on whom you think you can rely, you are a lucky man. If you found the reason to live on and not to die, you are a lucky man. Preachers and poets and scholars don't know you. Temples and statues and steeples won't show you. If you've got the secret, just try not to blow it. Stay a lucky man. A lucky man. Oh, well, you are a lucky man. If knowledge hangs around your neck like pearls instead of chains, you are a lucky man. Takers and fakers and talkers won't tell ya. Teachers and preachers will just buy and sell ya. When no one can tempt ya with heaven or hell, you be a lucky man. You are.